To read along with us, turn with me to the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter, Exodus chapter number 19, verse number 3, Exodus chapter number 19 and verse number 3. Again, continue to pray for Sister Cassie and her family. Good to see Sister Shipes. Appreciate those of you that we're at the funerals and the visitation cards and calls. God bless you for all of that. And the dishes from the funeral meals, if you would avail yourself to those. They are in the fellowship hall and quite a few of them. But God bless you for your sacrifice. Appreciate having a church family and friends in time of sorrow and time of bereavement. Thank God that we can draw strength one from another. Amen. So I just appreciate each and every one of you and your sacrifice as unto the Lord. In Exodus chapter number 19, verse number 3, the word of the Lord says, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." May the Lord bless you today as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. In just a moment, I'll give to you my topic for this morning. But one thing we do understand is that the Old Testament provides so many shadows and symbols that in the New Testament is openly revealed, and many of those depict our very own lives. Some of them are somewhat obscure and a little bit hidden that take some study of the Bible to comprehend them. But one that is so easily observed is how our lives parallel the journeys of the children of Israel, that their exodus out from underneath Pharaoh's hand and the journey through the wilderness and into Canaan land is so easily compared to what God wants to do in your life and my life. That God, first of all, wants us to be delivered from sin. Then he wants to prove to us in the wilderness he is everything that we need, that he is our sustenance, and everything that you need God to be, he will be and provide for you. But how many knows there's also a land that flows with milk and honey? There's a land of blessing. There's a land of abundance. There's an exalted life that God desires for us to inhabit and to dwell in Canaan's land. So with that being the backdrop today, here's what I want to preach to you about. And that is that he brought us out to take us in. He brought us out to take us in. The wilderness was not supposed to be the final destination for the children of Israel, although it became the grave for near all those that came out of Egypt. But that was not the intent of God. And today, as we look at the word of the Lord in my text, there are a few things that I point out to you by way of introduction. And that is, number one, God's intention. He said that, notice that you have seen what I have did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings. But notice this, and brought you unto myself. I wish those words would just jump off the pages of God's word to you today, because this is the will of God for my life and your life. God spoke through Moses to the people and said that I have brought you unto myself. That it was God's design and God's decree that a relationship would be established with this nation. that God wanted to bless this nation abundantly, that God wanted to be a God to them and through them and exalt them above all other nations, that God wanted a relationship with these people. So can I preach to you here this morning that it is the same thing today? The church is just not rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, but the overarching sentiment of the Bible is that God wants a relationship with me and with you. That it's more than just going through the motions. It is more than just playing charades and clapping hands and singing songs from rote and from memory. It is much more than that. And that is that God wants you and I to be delivered from sin, that he could bring us unto himself. Wouldn't you love for the breath of God and the Spirit of God just to come by your heart and your life today? Amen. How many love for the hand of God just to lay down on your life and for you to know that it is God that is providing for you, because he brought us out to take us in. And that's where we find the majority of the writings in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. It is between Exodus and Canaan. It is that wilderness, and it was not God's plan. It was not God's design. It was not God's decree for them to be trapped in the wilderness for so long. In all reality, what should have been a week journey turned into be a generational thing, and that should have never ever been. It should have taken them a week, but they spend a generation because they will not learn to trust in God. And it was all about rules. It was all about do's and don'ts. It was not about a relationship with God. Amen. I would to God today that he would just kind of rip back the covers of scriptures and show us today that he desires to bring us closer to him. That is the sentiment that I found getting ready for this service today, that it was the Spirit of God inviting all of us to know more about him. That there would be those people that find themselves distant from the Spirit of God. That you find yourself this morning detached from the things of God. Oh, you're here in the house of God. You knew the songs. You found the scripture in your Bible. But in all reality, you feel distant from God. You feel far away from God. Well, I come to preach to you this morning that he brought us out. Oh, look what he did to the Egyptians. Amen. Anybody glad that you're delivered from sin? Amen. Oh, yes. He reminded them, look what I have done to the Egyptians. Just a few chapters before, Miriam had her tambourine and they were shouting and they were dancing because Pharaoh and all of these Egyptians were dead on the seashore, swallowed up by the mercy and the judgment of God. And Moses and Miriam and all the people of God, they shouted all the way through the Red Sea and into the wilderness, thanking God and magnifying the name of the Lord. But can I tell you, that wasn't the final, the grand finale for God. That wasn't the last chapter that God wanted. Amen. He brought them out of the Red Sea. He brought them out from under the hand of Pharaoh. He brought them out, but he wanted to take them in. And somewhere that lesson becomes disconnected, and they wind themselves up spending a generation in the wilderness like so many people that are living below their privilege in God. And so God reminds them of what he has done. His intention was to bring them out, to take them in. Notice, here's the condition for me and you. By way of introduction, he said, if you'll obey my voice and keep my commandment, if you'll obey and keep, obey and keep, obey and keep. How many believe you can do that today? How many believe you could obey the voice of God and keep his covenant? Well, he said, if you'll do that, get get ready, because after God's instruction, he gives to us God's introduction of his people, and that is, I'm going to make you a nation like no other nation. I'm going to make you a holy nation, a nation of priests. I'm going to exalt you, and you're going to be a people that is like no other people. Can I tell you this morning that really serving God, if we can boil it down, it is really hearing the voice of God and obeying the voice of God. Hearing what God decrees and obeying it. If we'll do that, I believe that God's word tells us that there is a land of blessing, that there's a land of peace and joy, a land of opportunity and exaltation that God has decreed. And just like he wanted to exalt the people of Israel and to make them a nation above all nations, I believe the church of Jesus Christ in the day and the hour in which we live, it ought to be easier now to see blessed people than ever before. It ought to be easier now to see folks that are walking in the joys of God and the blessings of the abundant life than ever, ever, ever before. Amen. I come to preach to you this morning that he brought us out, but I believe that he's wanting to take us further. Amen. I stand today telling you that I believe the horizon for God's people and this church is a glorious horizon. Amen. I believe that if with faith that we could look out yonder and see where God is wanting to take us. Amen. I believe there's some great things that God has in store. Amen. Thank God for everyone that's recently come to know Christ. Thank God for those that are visiting with us. Amen. It's good to look around the house of the Lord and to see a lot of faces and to see a lot of people in the house of the Lord. Amen. 40 some absent, but the church house is still near about full. I said, thanks be unto God and thanks be unto the Spirit of God. I believe you and I this morning, if we would stir ourselves and shake ourselves, I believe that we could say something along the lines that maybe the best is yet to come. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we know anything about the nature of God, the nature of God is this, that he can always outdo what he's already done. I said he's always bigger and able to do more than he's already done. Just when you think you've seen God do something that'll blow your mind, he's able to come by and to do something that is even greater. All the apostle Paul said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Anybody this morning, you'd like to agree with me right now and say there's some things, amen, that if God would do it, blow our mind. I mean, it'd just be superb. It'd be fantastic. I'm glad to know, amen, God is not out of business, but God is in the business of taking us into a deeper walk with God. I said he brought us out, and we've celebrated that fact long enough. We're saved people, but he brought us out to take us in. I come to find anybody this morning, amen, that would say over the next couple of months, amen, God's going to take us to some new places. Amen, God's going to take us to some new destinations. That there are things that we've not even comprehended. That there are souls to be saved and things to be done and ministries to be started and songs to be sang and shouts to be heard and dances to be given. Why? Because God is taking his people on a journey. You cannot sit down. As soon as you sit down, you're going to dry up and stagnate. And God will provide for a while. And God will send the manna and the quail. But at some point in time, God is going to say it's time to move. And then the manna and the quail will cease. I'll tell you how you know it's time to move. Because where I'm at, the manna and the quail, they have stopped falling. And it's God telling me that I've got to
go somewhere new if I'm still going to receive things from God. Amen. Can I preach to you this morning that the vast majority of the church world is just kind of stuck in neutral. They're just kind of stuck. Amen. They're just kind of in a routine. But I would to God this morning, amen, I would that God would send out faith calls and faith promises this morning that God is going to do some new things, that God is going to stir his church, that there is a vision. The children of Israel, let me preach to you three things that they did not have. If we're going to move on in God, number one, they did not have the word of the Lord. I said they did not have the word of the Lord. In the 19th chapter, God said, I need to get you to Sinai. I need you to get the word of the Lord. They were missing God's precepts. Amen. I say today, let's get in God's word. Amen. I want to know more about God's word. And God's word is relevant. Hear me now. God's word is relevant for everything that is going on in your life. I said, God gave Moses the word on top of the mountain, and it was words concerning every relationship that they had. It was relationships between workers and employers. It was relationships between sons and daughters. It was relationships in the church. It was relationships in marriage. And I really feel like over the next couple of months, maybe God will give us some insight into how we can better relationships, how we can grow in God and be better people and have stronger relationships. And if we're going to do that, it's not through intellect and it's not through psychology, but we've got to know the word of the Lord. I said, I want to know, thus saith the word of God. And in a day where so many are tossed about to and fro, amen, by every wind of doctrine, amen, I believe you and I are anchored to the rock because we know, thus saith the word of the Lord. I say, thank God thy word. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is his word that is forever settled in the heavens. It is his word. But when the world melts away with the fervent heat, the word of God will stand. But when the flower is faded away, I said it is the word of God that will stand the test of time. Amen. The second thing that they were missing, it was the presence of God. And let me preach to you right here. This is where the vast majority of the church world lives. Amen. Do you know the only man that we never find wanting to go back to Egypt was Moses? I said it was Moses. He was the second in command. If anybody got in the wilderness and should have wanted to go back, it would have been Moses that had the confines of the palace, that slept in the feathered beds, that ate the meat of Pharaoh's table. But Moses never wanted to go back to Egypt because Moses fell in love with the presence of God. I said he fell in love with the presence of God. Matter of fact, he said something like this, that God, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going. That if you're going to send us into Canaan, but your presence is not going to be there, then I'd rather stay in the wilderness right here than to move on into a land that flows with milk and honey, that I cannot feel you. Amen. Let me preach this Sunday morning. Amen. And hear this pastor's cry that there's a lot of people, and the problem is they've got rules, but they don't have relationship. There was a generation that came before me that you understood the rules, you understood the do's and the do nots, but the problem is you never fell in love with the God that wrote those rules. You never understood that there was a God that spoke from heaven and he wrote those those words in tablets, and it wasn't the words of Moses, but it was the words of God given to his people through the man of God. Amen. Can I preach to you today that it is the presence of God that drives me? It is the presence of God that I celebrate. Amen. If serving God is drudgery, and for some of you it is, hear me this morning. I said, hear me. Amen. It's all you can do to get to one service. Some of you, two services a month. And the only reason, and I'm not berating you this morning, I am just explaining to you the fact that you don't feel what I feel when you come into the house of God, or you wouldn't stay away. I said you'd come back. I said you'd come back when you feel the presence of God and you feel the Spirit of God and you transcend rules and enter that arena of relationship with God and feel the Spirit of the living God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, nobody has to tell you it's time for church. You understand, I can't feel this anywhere else. I can't experience this anywhere else. I love the joy of the Lord and the presence of God. And yes, I believe in holiness. And yes, I believe in the standard. But the problem is we've got folks that just know the outside and the letter of the law, but they forget the Spirit of the law and they forgot the presence of God. When's the last time that you just come into the house of the Lord and you lifted up holy hands and the sweet presence of God, it cascaded down in your life? When's the last time that you crawled into prayer and hot tears of conviction coursed down your cheeks and the Spirit of an almighty God invigorated your soul? When's the last time that the fire of God fell down from heaven and you felt a wheel turn within a wheel? When's the last time that an angel from heaven took a coal from off the altars of heaven and touched you and you said, oh, I'm different, I'm changed? I say, God, take us back. I say, take me back. Let me have your presence. If I can only have one thing, I said, if I can only have one thing, let me have your presence. Let me have your Spirit. Let me have the presence of an almighty God. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, David even said it. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Whoa, David, when you think you might lose the kingdom, when you think you might lose the palace and all of the royal guards, David wanted one thing. I said David wanted one thing, and it was to be able to go into the presence of Jehovah and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David wanted one thing, and that was for the presence of God to be upon his life. And I would to God this morning, amen, that we would start from the front to the back and go from side to side. And if anybody in this building says, I need to feel more of God, God would hear our prayer. God would hear our prayer. God would answer that prayer this morning. Amen. Because I believe that's why we come to the house of the Lord. Amen. I really do. I'm not here because I have to. It's not just rules. It's relationship. I said it's relationships. I want more of God. And I would that the divine God of heaven would just condescend and to come down in this auditorium and to go pew by pew and say, do you need me? Do you miss me? Do you worship me? Do you love me? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lord Jesus Christ. The presence. Because you see, let's go past that point of coming into the presence of God, and then let's go to where the presence of God gets in us. Ye are temples of the Holy Ghost. The presence of God. Hallelujah. Let's replay it. Denomination after denomination after denomination.
Why do crowds start withering away?
Well, it can't be talent, because the churches still have as much talent as they've always had. It can't be programs. We've got more programs. We've got more access to preaching. What is it? There was a day 30, 40, and 50 years ago when men came to church. They felt the Shekinah glory of God. They felt the presence of God. They felt the Spirit of God. And we have moved away from that. And denominations say, well, we can't get anybody to come back midweek. We can't get anybody here on Sunday night. And the reason is, it has nothing to do with programs and talent. Men cry out, I want the Spirit of God. I want the presence of God. And we have that. I said, we still have that. Oh, hallelujah. I would today that every child of God, every young person, every mom and dad, every saint of God, every elder of God would cry out from the depths of their soul, I need the presence of God. Hallelujah. Number three, they had to find God's purpose. They had received and needed God's precepts. They had lost His presence, but they forgot His purpose. I brought you out to bring you in. I brought you out of Egypt, but the wilderness is not where I want you to abide. It's a lot of folks. A lot of graves in the wilderness. A lot of graves in the wilderness. A lot of people. That's as far as... Can I just preach to you about 3 or 4 more minutes? Let me preach to you that knows. It may sound a little rough. But those of you that never clap your hands. Let me preach to you that this is about all you can ever do. The Bible tells us to use our hands. It tells us to use our voice. I've looked around recently during worship. Even some of our young folks standing there like this. You're falling prey that it's just a bunch of rules. You've missed the relationship. You've missed the relationship. When the Spirit of God is in His building, and we're just watching. We're missing it. We've missed the whole point. We have missed the whole purpose. I will enter. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. I will enter His courts with praise. So when God spreads the table at lunch today, how many of you plan on actually using utensils? I don't care what you... How many of you plan on opening your mouth? How many actually plan on using saliva glands? Stop serving quail and manna. After enough no thank yous,
after enough. My heart cries out, oh God, I want your presence. Young folks, if you can fall in love with the presence of God, you'll stay here. You'll stay here. You'll stay here. If it's just rules, you might not make it. But if you can fall in love with the presence of God, hallelujah, hallelujah, just one touch, just one wind of glory, just one breath from another world, it makes it all worth coming to the house of the Lord. Amen. Just one lightning bolt, just one flash of a Pentecostal sky. Amen. Just like those clouds rolled in yesterday and that thunder started clapping, that lightning bolt knocked out power on this side of town. Amen. Oh, I would to God that the clouds of His glory. I said the clouds of His glory would roll in. Amen. You say it's just for the young folks. Excuse me. I said hang on for a second and let me preach about Caleb. Let me preach about a couple in the wilderness that said this isn't where we're going to die. That God didn't bring us out to let us die here. And Joshua and Caleb, they said we're going yonder. I said we've been there. We saw some graves. We saw some things in their land that you can't get in the wilderness. Hear me now. You might want to live in the wilderness of carnality. You might want to wander in the land of compromise. But I've been yonder in the land of Canaan land. I've seen the land that flows with milk and honey. I felt the joy of God. I spoke in an unknown tongue. I shouted and danced. I said the wilderness is not for me. And old Caleb, at 80 years old. I said 80 years old. There he was, squared his shoulders. And he said, I want that mountain. I said, give me that mountain. That's mine. I've been waiting 40 years, but it's mine. I said, it's mine. Anybody in this building, you're ready to say, God, I want more than I've got. I'm ready to take some mountains. Woo! Hallelujah. May we just have a golden apple altar call right now. Anybody 80 years old, say, woo! I'll take that mountain. I said, I'll take that mountain. You don't get too old. I said, I'm going to take that mountain. I said, God's got good things in store. God's not done. I said, it's not the grand finale, but I'm going to keep walking. I'm going higher. I'm going deeper. And God, there's a land that flows with milk and honey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, there's some young folks that were born in a backslidden generation. Some of you Calebs, some of you that are 50, always telling these young folks about the way that it used to be. Back in the Brush Arbors and back the way church used to be. You know what some of these young folks look around and they see a wilderness. They see the church wandering in the wilderness. But they're saying there's got to be something more than this. There's got to be something more. Where's the miracles? Where's the signs? Where's the wonders? Where's the early prayer meetings? Where's the calls for fasting? Where's the shouting? Where's the slain in the spirit? Where's the services till midnight? Where are the 3 and 4 week revivals? The answer. We have lost His spirit. We have lost the love for the presence of God. But I say, God, stir me. I say, God, shake me. Take me back. Let me dance. Let me shout. Let me speak in tongues and preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You're ready for more of God. Why don't you stand up right now and say, God, I'm not done. I'm not done. I want more. I say, take me deeper. I say, take me deeper, God. Hallelujah.